This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
You got to come to the end of yourself where you recognize, I can't do this no matter how hard I sweat to do it. I need a savior. I need an advocate. I need a peace offering. I need Jesus. And the world has done everything they can to eradicate him. They refer to Jesus as the universe. They refer to God as the universe. The universe did this. The universe did that. Honey, Jesus didn't come out of the universe. The universe came out of him.
Calling all men. September 9th and 10th, join men from all over the world for Mentality Men's Conference. You don't want to miss this free conference. Register now. Text MENTALITY to 51555 or scan the QR code on your screen. See you September 9th and 10th with Creflo Dollar. Visit CrefloDollarMinistries.org and grab your free seat. Register now.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today.
Last week, we began a series just dealing with, I think we called it, Is Your Belief System Offline? And we focused on how important it is to believe and to understand that. But today, we're going to talk about that part two, but we're going to deal with, we're going to talk about obedience to the faith. We shared with you on some things on obedience, and we're going to do that again today. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, just as a brief review, 28 verses 1 through 13, it talks about the rewards and blessings of perfect obedience to the law. And they were listed about those blessings in Deuteronomy 28. But we said to you that since no one except Jesus has ever obeyed the law perfectly, and please understand, nobody but Jesus has obeyed the law perfectly. You may preach obedience, but you don't do it perfectly. There are 613 of those boys, and it's like you hadn't done it perfectly. And so if you can judge somebody else for what they are not doing, somehow you got to say to yourself, you've done it perfectly. If you have any room to say something so judgmental about someone else, you have to change the rules and say that, lie to yourself and say that you've done it perfectly. Nobody has kept the law of Moses, 613 of them, perfectly except for Jesus. And so we are disqualified from these blessings based on our performance because we could not keep the law perfectly. We're disqualified for all the blessings that are in Deuteronomy 28. However, the good news is these blessings are a part of our inheritance because we have been given, not earned, given. We have been given the gift of the perfect obedience of Jesus. So you and I get none of the curses, but all of the blessings. We have been given the free gift of perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. So while we are not perfect, the day you got born again and made Jesus the Lord of your life, you received this gift of perfect obedience. Wow. So you say, I've received Jesus into my life. You've received the gift of perfect obedience, which means you qualify for all of the blessings without any of the sweat or the work or the effort on your part to try to get them. Before Jesus came and died and rose again, everything was a performance-based gospel. You had to perform in order to qualify to get these blessings. But we have the free gift of perfect obedience through Jesus Christ. We are not blessed because we obey perfectly. We are blessed because Jesus obeyed perfectly. We are not blessed because we obey perfectly. We are blessed because Jesus obeyed perfectly. And besides, in the New Testament, the Bible says that we are blessed because of Jesus. Put up Galatians 3, verse 19 in King James. We are blessed because of Jesus. We are blessed because of Jesus. Look at let me see something right quick. Hold on, guys. I got a bunch of notes. Look at Galatians 3:14. We're blessed because of Jesus, not because of what we do, but because of Jesus. He said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Go to verse 13 and let's read through it. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay, delivered or redeemed from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. How does the blessing come now in the New Testament? Through Jesus Christ. So we are blessed because of Jesus. Say this out loud. I'm blessed because of Jesus. Well, we got to stop trying to earn the blessing. We got to stop trying to say, well, I'm blessed because of my perfect obedience. You don't have perfect obedience. You're blessed because of Jesus. Say it again. I'm blessed because of Jesus. Praise God. So once again, we are blessed because of Jesus. We are blessed because Jesus obeyed perfectly. Okay? He came to fulfill all of the law, and not one jot or tittle of that law will be given away until Jesus had come to fulfill it, and He has come to fulfill it. Now, let's go to Hebrews 3:18-19 in the New King James Version. Now, I'm starting off a little slow because I want to reestablish some of these things, so when I get to the radical stuff, you will see, whether you agree with it or not, you see I got it from the Bible. And if you're going to say you live by the Bible, then you got to check out what you believe and what your tradition is versus what the Bible actually says. So you can no longer say, I live by the Bible, if you choose to disregard what I'm showing you, the Bible, and choose to believe what you believe. The Bible says your tradition has made the Word of God of no effect. And so it's like, throw the Bible away if you're not going to live by it. If you're just going to live by something you heard somebody say and say, well, I just decide to, I agree with that, but I don't agree with this. No, that's not what this is. You can't pick and choose Scripture. You got to look at what it says, see what it says, and you got to make your mind up that I'm not going to try to change the Word. I'm going to let the Word change my thinking. Okay? Now, look at this. Hebrews 3:18. Put it on screen so everybody can see that. He says, and to whom did He swear that they would not enter in His rest, but to those who did not obey? So, according to this verse right here, He said those who did not obey were not going to enter into the rest. Now, He's making reference to Israel entering into the rest from their enemies. For those who do not obey, they will not enter into the rest. All right? So now look at verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Isn't that interesting? In verse 18, He says they could not enter in, those who did not obey, did not enter in. And then He says they didn't enter in because of unbelief. Did you see what happened there? He defined obedience. Those who did not obey could not enter into the rest. And so we see that those could not enter in, and He calls that he calls disobedience unbelief. He calls disobedience unbelief. So in the New Testament, disobedience is unbelief. In the New Testament, disobedience is unbelief. So if Israel's unbelief was called disobedience, then belief on their part would be called what? Obedience. So you see how we derived at that particular point. It's not complicated. It's like He just said disobedience is unbelief, and if disobedience is unbelief, then obedience is belief. So in the New Testament, disobedience is unbelief. In the New Testament, obedience is belief. So when you talk about being obedient in the New Testament, you're talking about believing. When you're talking about being disobedient in the New Testament, it is called unbelief. So this is so interesting because all of a sudden, we thought that obedience would only occur
at, you know, during our actions. So to be disobedient means disobedient in your action. To be obedient means obedient in your actions. But that's not the first place that obedience or disobedience should occur. Obedience and disobedience should, first of all, occur in your belief. If you believe, you're obedient. If you don't believe, you're disobedient. That's what it is. It was not so in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was about your actions. Your actions demonstrated obedience or disobedience. But under the New Testament, it is no longer about your actions because Jesus is now has acted on our behalf, praise God. So in the New Testament, it is when you are obedient, it's because you believe. In the New Testament, when you are disobedient, it's because of unbelief. Renew your mind with that. Because everything in this New Testament is going to be based on you understanding what is so simply described to us here in Scripture. Now, Hebrews 4:3, if you go there in the New King James, he says, we who have believed do enter that rest. Hebrews 4:3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. So there's a rest that still remains for those who believe. He who believes or obey do enter that rest. See, if you're reading the New Testament and you don't understand that, you will continue to make obedience about your actions and not your belief. You'll continue to make disobedience about your actions instead of your believing or not believing. You have to understand that to get the right interpretation. And then in verse 11, Hebrews 4:11, he says, you know, he wants you to be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of unbelief or disobedience. Of unbelief or disobedience. So every time you see obedience in the Word of God, it's attached to belief. Every time you see disobedience in the New Testament, it's attached to unbelief. If you understand that, or you want me to stay there all day long, say amen. Amen. Now, listen to this carefully. I'm going to say this. I need you to write it down because it's something that's going to be big in this teaching. In light of God equating belief with obedience, that's what he does. He equates belief in the New Testament with obedience. He equates unbelief with disobedience. He does that very clearly in Scripture. You see that. In light of God equating belief with obedience, our actions are not the first place where obedience must occur. In the Old Testament, our actions was the first place that obedience had to occur. But in this new covenant, our actions are not the first place where obedience must occur. Obedience begins in the same place where everything in our relationship with God and the gospel is concerned. Obedience, it starts with believing the gospel. Obedience begins in the same place where everything in our relationship with God begins, with believing the gospel. So you want to be obedient today as a Christian under the New Testament? It requires you believing the gospel. It requires you believing Jesus. To not believe the gospel, to not believe the finished works, to not believe his love, to not believe Jesus put you in a place where you are disobedient because your unbelief. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. Now, for the Galatians, for us today, for all of us today who are in here today, obeying God is a matter of believing the gospel. That's what it is. Obeying God is a matter of believing the gospel of grace. It is a matter of, that's what the gospel is. It's the gospel of grace. It's a matter of us believing the gospel of grace. This is strong. People who always talk about, I got a problem with that grace teaching. I got a problem with the gospel of grace. You are in unbelief. You are in disobedience in the New Testament. Your disobedience is a result of your unbelief. Unbelief in the gospel of grace. Unbelief in this gospel of grace. I know it sounds strange because we're used to being taught all of the traditions of the old covenant before Jesus.
Do we continue to live the exact same way? What changed? I mean, you celebrate Jesus on the cross, celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection, celebrate all of that, and still go back to living the exact same way before he died and was raised from the dead. So it changed. But the preaching didn't change. And what you heard in church didn't change. And we celebrated a resurrected Jesus while we remained dead in the law and in performance, trying to earn things that Jesus had already done for us, and continue to frustrate the grace of God because we would not accept what he had done, because it was always, yeah, but I feel like I need to do something. Yeah, but I feel like I need to do something. But what do I do? But what do I do? But what do I do? And this system is based on believing what he has done. But it wasn't enough. Jesus wasn't enough. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to change. And you kept trying to do stuff that never really was sustained in your life because you wouldn't believe. Well, it's got to do more than just believe. Well, believing is just not enough. Well, it's got to be more than believing. And under this new covenant of grace, your obedience is believing. Under the old covenant, your obedience was what you would do. In this new covenant, your obedience is what you believe. If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
So this is a matter of believing, praise God. Now, how does God deal with disobedience or unbelief in the new covenant? Well, sin and disobedience are not an issue. God has already dealt with those things through the obedience of Christ and has sworn not to be angry with us and to never rebuke us, but the church and the body of Christ, we have made it an issue. The church and the body of Christ, we have made it an issue. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, 28 in the New Living Translation. Now, you talk about renewing your mind. You renew your mind with this New Testament gospel of grace. That's what you renew your mind with. Renewing the mind is not just learning a lot of facts in the Bible. It's renewing your mind from the old way of living to the new way of living. That's what that renewing of the mind is all about. Now, look at verse 28 in the NLT. In the NLT, he says, so also Christ was offered once. How many times was Christ offered? Once and for all times as a sacrifice to take away what? The sins of many people. He will come again not to deal with our sins. Okay, why is he not going to come again to deal with our sins? Because everybody in church thinks that Jesus is coming to deal with our sin. You better get it right. You better obey God in your actions, because if you don't, then you're not going to be blessed. You better obey God in your actions, because if you don't, then you're not going to have wisdom. You better obey God in your actions, because if you don't, you're going to hell. All of these things that are not true. You're not blessed because of your actions. You're blessed because of Jesus and his actions. So why is he not coming back to deal with your sins? Because he's already dealt with your sins. So what do you have to do? Believe it. He says, I'm not come not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Christ has already dealt with our sins on the cross. Christ has already dealt with our sins on the cross. And the church today still makes sin the primary issue. We make sin the issue while we judge people of their sins, while you try to ignore that you have them or not. You can't judge somebody of their sins. Everybody got them. You talk as if you don't have them. You preach scriptures like you don't have them. You judge people like you don't have them. You tell people you better obey because God ain't gonna do this, like you perfectly obey. You don't perfectly obey, and you are not. If you could perfectly obey, and if you could be flawless with no sins, there would be no need for Jesus to be sacrificed. Because you got it together. You're good. You're celebrating a Jesus as a symbol and not understanding that your whole life is based on what that guy did for you. You got to understand without him, you're messed up. Without him, you're hell bound. Without him,
If you're going to try to do what you do to get healed, then you ain't going to get healed because you ain't got what it takes. Because if you're going to decide to live under the Old Testament, then you got to live with the wages of the Old Testament, and the wages of sin is death and hell and the grave. You got to come to the end of yourself where you recognize, I can't do this no matter how hard I sweat to do it. I need a Savior. I need an advocate. I need a peace offering. I need Jesus. And the world has done everything they can to eradicate him. They refer to Jesus as the universe. They refer to God as the universe. The universe did this. The universe did that. Honey, Jesus didn't come out of the universe. The universe came out of him. God didn't come out of Stark. Stark came out of God. And you know what's happened? The religious propaganda of this time has been received by so many people that call themselves Christians. You got to understand another thing. Christianity is responsible for America. America didn't produce Christianity. Christianity produced America, and then America got rid of Christianity. It's like your mama gave birth to you, and then you're going to go get rid of your mama. And you invited a bunch of fake mamas to come around. And all America got to do is recognize who gave birth to you. And quit trying to compromise with everything else. And quit substituting Christianity with all these sugar mamas and all that other stuff you're trying to do. All the mama mamas and all that other kind of stuff. America would not be America. We're a Christian nation. Well, God dog it, go back to the Christ. But we won't do that because, well, you know, I don't believe in that. I believe in the universe. Girl, you ain't even never seen the universe. What you talking about? The universe came out of God, Ellie. The moon and the stars came out of God. The sky, the wind, the rain came out of God. You came out of God. Everything came out of God. There is nothing that exists that didn't come out of God. Somebody said to me, well, everybody can't be wrong. Oh, so you're going to settle on deception because you figure everybody can't be wrong. But Pastor Dollar, you ain't the only one that can be right. Well, I'm not the only one preaching this either. Jesus is revealing that this gospel has got to be preached throughout the world, and then the end shall come. This gospel, what did Paul say? Paul says there's not but one gospel. What we've been doing is preaching stuff and calling it the gospel. Are y'all good? You still love me so far? Well, let's see if I can change that right here. John chapter 16, verse 8 through 9. We're still in review. There's a lot of stuff going on. We say, all right. 16, 8, and 9. Verse 8, he says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, he says, because they do not believe in me. What matters is not your lifestyle, but your belief system. Now, let me put a little bit more meat on that. What matters, as in the primary focus, as Christians, the primary focus is not your lifestyle, but your belief system, because what you believe would directly influence your behavior. See, what we've done is we've made the primary focus our behavior. What you doing, what they doing, how they living, what they doing. But you understand the Holy Ghost, he got a plan to change all that. But he can't do nothing until you, first of all, make your primary focus your belief in him. See, the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to go to work. See, we forget about the Holy Spirit. You can't be a Christian because you're doing that. Yeah, but the Holy Ghost says, but they believe in me, I'm going to change it. Well, they can't be a Christian because of their lifestyle. Oh, yeah, Holy Ghost says, I'm working on that right now. He says, I can do the job. I'm equipped to do the job. I just need you to believe it. He says, I'm even working on people who don't know me because they don't believe me. I'm trying to convince them to believe me, and I can change the behavior. We got it backwards. We have churches all over the world trying to change people's behavior.
Are you focused on doing works so that God sees you as obedient? In the 6-message series, Is Your Belief System Offline? Creflo Dollar teaches that obedience is not measured by performance. It's simply believing and having faith in Jesus Christ.
Everything we have and everything we get now as New Testament Christians, we get it because of what Jesus did. The Old Testament was all about you working for God. The New Testament is all about God working for you. Obedience in the New Testament is called belief. Disobedience is called unbelief. Jesus has delivered you from your sin, and the Holy Ghost is changing your behavior.
Order this life-changing CD series today for a love gift of just $35 or more. This series is also available in DVD format for a love gift of $45 or more. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore, scan the QR code, or call the number on your screen to order today.
Welcome to A Place Built for You. Where finding grace messages to watch is easy.
He wants you to rejoice and to enjoy that all your sins have been taken care of.
Where your spiritual needs are met. Where you can access CYWN anytime you want. Where exclusive content is accessible 24 hours a day, where getting spiritually fed anytime you want feels fulfilling, uplifting, simple.
There's a great harvest that's been prophesied for centuries of time. The wealth of the wicked, how many of you know that transfer must take place? But you know what? We've got to make room for the new.
Welcome to the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app. Visit your Roku, Amazon, or Apple TV app store and download the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app now to start streaming for free. For more information, visit CreflodollarMinistries.org.
Creflo Dollar Global Missions helps people all over the world receive healing and wholeness in every area of life. For example, we help those in need in our communities, those trapped in the sex entertainment industry, and children in orphanages and refugee camps. When we meet the physical needs of those hurting people, it gives us the opportunity to share the gospel of grace with them. So I want to thank you for helping us reach millions with the gospel.
Log on to our website at missions.creflodollarministries.org to see all the work we do at Creflo Dollar Global Missions. Thank you for your support.
The preceding program was brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.